Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to debut of Blog Talk Radio's Grassroots Holistic Health Show for Saturday, October 2nd, 2010. I'm your host, Wesley Gray, coming to you live from New York City at 9 a.m. Eastern Time. Our show today is featuring my lovely wife, Spirit Change, but first, I begin by acknowledging and thanking our Most High God for allowing this show to take place. To this I say, Anezharak on Nutur, Dua on Nutur, Alafia, Oladurame. I thank my ancestors, Ibo Igun. I thank and praise the Orisha, Iba, Si Orisha, Motuve. I thank my guardians, Dua, Neb, Nutur. And I send blessings, love, and respect to my elders, my godparents, my stepmother, my godmother, and my wife. Good morning, everyone. Alafia Heptapu Namaste. I extend greetings of peace and blessings, and I recognize the divinity in all of you. Today, may we start by introducing my wife, Spirit Change, who will share with us her experience of being diagnosed with diabetes last December of 2009 and having a miraculous recovery. During the show, I will share with you information regarding health issues and remedies, and this show will also inform you of practical tips for enhancing your overall quality of life, spirit, mind, and body. I am not a medical doctor, and I'm not giving medical advice in any fashion whatsoever. But what I do share will personally work for you as it works for me and my family, and hope you will too find some benefit from the information that I share with you. As with all things, check with a licensed medical professional before embarking on any changes in your health routine. I will take a short break now, and when I return, I will introduce my wife, Spirit Change. I may add also that this chat room is now open, so feel free to enter and interact with each other. Enjoy the show. On the internet, the call-in number is 323-927-1412. If you wish to speak with us, please remove your headsets and stand away from your computer modem to avoid any feedback. At this point, I'd like to introduce you to my wife, Spirit Change. If she's available, I have a number on the line, 347. Are you on the line? Hello?
Hello? Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. How are you doing, hon?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic on this Saturday morning.
I like the drumming. I don't know if the listeners are aware of this, but that's my husband that was playing the drums.
Yes, well, thank you. I appreciate, tolerating my drumming. I'm just kidding. I know you like it, and I really appreciate that. What I'd like to do is to first find out about, you know, you tell us in the listening audience about your experience with being diagnosed with diabetes, and I'd like you to explain to us the emotions, the thoughts that went through your mind as you came to terms with the diagnosis.
Well, let's see. How should I begin? Because it's such a long story, and it brings back a lot of feelings and emotions and fear. Let's see. To begin with, last year, December 23rd, 2009, I ended up being rushed to the hospital in an ambulance. I didn't know what was wrong with me. A few days prior to that, I noticed that I wasn't feeling well. And I took off that Monday and Tuesday from work. The 23rd was a Wednesday. And I took off that Monday and Tuesday from work. I work a very stressful job. I hadn't gone on vacation, and I thought that probably all that was wrong with me was that I just needed some rest. Then as the days progressed, I was feeling worse and worse, and I reached the point where I was so weak I could barely get out of bed and stand up. And at that point, my husband called 911 and had an ambulance come and get me, and we were both clear that it was something more than needing a couple of days of rest. What it was at that point, though, I didn't know. I also was not aware of the symptoms of diabetes because my family does not have a history of diabetes. So I never even really heard people talking about, oh, this happened to me, that happened to me. So I didn't know what to do. Yeah, I didn't know what to think, actually. After being in the emergency room for a few hours and I was, you know, tested for whatever they were testing me for, the doctor informed me that I was diabetic. My blood glucose level had exceeded 1,000, and they informed me that I had almost died. And so I'm laying there in a state of total exhaustion, barely able to lift my head up on my own, and I'm listening to this. And they admitted me to the hospital. I ended up in intensive care. And that's when the journey began. They administered insulin through shots, through an IV, I don't even remember, honestly, a lot of what was done to me because I was in such a state of hovering somewhere between conscious and unconscious. I was conscious enough to know what was going on as far as I knew where I was, I knew who I was and all of that, but I wasn't conscious enough to really understand everything that was happening at the time. At the end of my hospital stay, I was sent home with several needles of insulin. The nurse came to me the day I was being discharged, sat on the edge of the bed, and I'll never forget, she said to me, "You have to inject yourself with insulin 4 times a day. And I looked at her like she was crazy. I said, "I have to do what? I don't know how to inject myself. I don't know. I don't want to do that." And I was not in a good state of mind at that point when she said that to me. And then she told me that she would teach me how to do it. So instead of her administering my shot, she had me do it, which was just an amazing thing. And I decided right then and there that this was just not for me. I didn't know what I was going to do or how I was going to do it, but I knew that there was no way that I was going to be able to live my life giving myself 4 shots of insulin every day. I almost passed out when I did the first shot with the assistance of the nurse. And I knew right there, well, that's not for me. This is just something I can't do. And that's how my journey with diabetes began.
Wow, what an experience. Needless to say, as being, you know, your husband, that I went through not as much, of course, of the emotion and trauma and all the other residual spiritual and mental effects that you experienced, but I was affected, needless to say, because we are as one, as husband and wife, spirit, mind, and body. My empathy was, you know, I just was at loss in terms of how could I help you. And of course, I started out with prayer. And being a Reiki practitioner, I was sending you energy, even when I wasn't with you. And I was encouraged, though, to know that this experience that you were going through was indeed something that you would overcome, that you would conquer the challenge, as it were, to be healed. That was always in my mind. And needless to say, as we speak today, you're in a state of being virtually cured from diabetes. And I thank the Most High for this. And I'd like for you to share with the listening audience, what was it that allowed you to have the fortitude? You know, what was it was deep inside of you that said that this was not acceptable and that you would overcome this particular challenge?
At that time, especially first being discharged from the hospital, I honestly don't have one particular thing that gave me the fortitude, except that I just truly, with all my heart, believe 100% totally in the Most High. I believe in miracles. I've seen miracles. I've been the recipient of divine healing about 20 years ago, and that's another story that I can tell maybe at some other time. But I have been a recipient of divine healing, and so there's just no one that can convince me that there's any physical, spiritual, or mental condition that exists which cannot be completely cured and completely healed. There's just nobody that can convince me of that because I've been.
Oh, yeah.
So when the doctor said that, well, you'll have to use insulin for the rest of your life, and even in my state of weakness at that point, because I still wasn't really able to walk with stability, I didn't have a lot of strength, as you remember. I had also lost probably like 80% of my vision during the ordeal. And I was just determined that I was not going to be a disabled person. I was not going to go from being a healthy person to all of a sudden being someone who didn't have vision, someone who, you know, couldn't walk or cook or feed themselves or do for myself. That was not acceptable. And I drew on my faith. I drew on my experience in the past of receiving divine healing within the Christian setting, you know, which, and I'm mentioning within the Christian setting because I do not discount anyone's faith. As you know, there's one Most High God, and that's what I believe in. And it doesn't matter what culture or what faith someone is a part of, the healing is available and it's there. And all I say to people that I talk about these things with is whatever you choose to believe in, as long as it's not detrimental to yourself or society, you stick with that. You don't have to believe in what I believe in.
Mm-hmm.
If you're Buddhist or if you're Muslim, it doesn't matter. There's one universal life force energy that heals. So you stick with whatever your orientation is and you allow the healing to come to you. And that, I guess, to make, you know, I guess I gave you the long version of, you know, what gave me my fortitude. It's that knowledge that the Most High heals today the same way the Most High healed centuries and millenniums ago. There's no difference because it is the same energy.
Ah, yes, indeed. Yeah, just like the rain that we've experienced for the last couple of weeks. That rain has existed, the water has existed for billions of years. And once we understand that, you know, we are in an experience on this earth that goes back, like you say, millenniums, you know, that water being the most sustaining force that keeps us alive, as an example, that we are actually consuming something that has been recycled for billions of years to keep us alive as we live today. And I always use the analogy in terms of religions, as you touched upon, that we have many religions which can be represented by rivers. And those rivers, of course, flow into the ocean, the one ocean, and become recycled with rain flowing down again upon the earth. But it's just one. We're all connected. There's only one God, there's one soul that we all share this magnificent experience called life. And indeed, as you mentioned, the healing modalities, the ancient healers that go back eons ago, those same modalities are true today in terms of incorporating a healing process. One of the things that I want to touch upon later on, and I guess we can, you know, touch upon it lightly at this point, is your diet. Could you explain to the listening audience, hon, what you did to start the process of your healing and being cured from diabetes? I think the audience would be interested in hearing that.
Well, sure. What I'd like to do first, though, is mention, you just mentioned about water. And just segueing that back into diabetes, mm-hmm. when I was diagnosed as being diabetic, I was also informed that day that that my body was totally dehydrated.
Yes.
Water is such an essential element for us to have in our bodies on a daily basis. I know that many of us, if not most of us, in one venue or another have heard you must drink 8 glasses of water a day. That is no joke. You must have water to sustain your body and to allow your bodily functions to operate at their optimum ability. When symptoms of diabetes, I'll mention a few of them, but a symptom that I had, which I did not realize was a symptom, because as I mentioned before, I knew nothing about diabetes. My family does not have a history of diabetes, so I knew nothing about it. But I found that I was consuming large amounts of liquids, any liquid, water, juice, tea, anything I could drink, and 10 minutes or so after I would consume large quantities of beverages, I would have to run to the bathroom and urinate. That's how I became dehydrated. That's the symptom of diabetes. Your thirst is insatiable, literally insatiable. And then you keep urinating, so the more you drink, the more you urinate. The more you drink, the more you urinate. And it can come. It appears that it happens quickly, but I was not aware that I was diabetic, and I was told after A1C test and other tests had been performed on me that I had been diabetic for quite some time. So at the end, things really crashed down on me, but I didn't realize that I had been diabetic for a while. So that's something that I just wanted to stick in there as far as with symptoms. And I also want to mention to listeners that if you're unsure about symptoms and if you just want to have an idea of what it's about, go to the website www.diabetes.org. There's a wealth of information. And the reason I'm stressing that everyone should really take a look at that website is because statistics tell us that there are over 25 million Americans who are diabetic. There's also another 3 or 4 million who have the disease, but they're not aware of it. So what is causing such an, I call it an epidemic of this disease here in the United States? And to answer the question that was just put to me about my diet, what have I been doing, it's essential to remove products containing white sugar from your diet. I use agave occasionally, which is a natural sweetener. It has a low glycemic index, and therefore it does not cause the highs and lows in your blood sugar. Obesity, while it can be a factor in becoming diabetic, especially in your latter years, I'm in my 50s. So I know that what saved me from actually being a full-fledged diabetic in my younger years was the fact that your youth. Your youth can prevent you from it, but if you have very bad eating habits, unhealthy eating habits, such as a lot of white sugar, the sodas, the candies, the cakes, which we all love, they taste great, I know, but there's a way of getting that in a healthy way, using healthy ingredients. Instead of white flour, use grain or wheat flour. There's so many things about the diet. Now, I happen to be vegetarian, and I know that being vegetarian has helped me. It didn't help sweets because I used to have an incredible sweet tooth, so I know that was a major contributing factor for me. But as far as just the diet in general, I did read in several resources that soy protein has a low glycemic index, and that assists in maintaining healthy blood sugar levels. So that's an advantage that I have as a vegetarian. If you're not a vegetarian, I'm not telling you to go out and switch your lifestyle, but it's just something to be aware of if you're looking to optimize your health.
Yes, that's very interesting, and I really appreciate you sharing that. I must add that share with the audience that both of us are vegetarians. I've been a vegetarian for some 26 years, off and on, and through my earlier journey embracing vegetarianism, I would fall off the wagon, as it were, and then I would, get back on the wagon and start practicing vegetarianism. And at one time, I even deluded myself that as long as I eat fish and chicken, that I'm a vegetarian because I'm not eating red meat. So that's something that a lot of people that I've ran into, and I think it's held by the general public at large, that vegetarianism is something that means that you don't eat meat, red meat particularly, and actually anything that has blood going through it, that has a mouth, as it were, is considered to be meat. And a lot of people would question me as I'm a marathon runner and exercise. I'm involved with martial arts off and on. I practice that. How can you be a vegetarian and be able to sustain yourself and have the energy and stamina to engage in this in these activities? And needless to say, I would respond, I would have a rebuttal that, if you're a meat eater, a lot of meat eaters eat the cow and other animals that are found in a farm, lamb, sheep, and so forth. And, of course, I would say for them to think of what is the biggest animal that they can think of that is on the land, and on the earth. And they would say, well, the elephant. And then I said, well, what about the sea? And they would say, oh, the whale. And of course, I would tell them, aha. Do those animals eat meat? No, they do not. Indeed, the cow grazes upon grass and grain and so forth. So it's able to sustain itself, and it has a healthy body. And, of course, those of us who eat meat gain the nutrients from eating these animals. And so the argument is moot at that point. And it makes one wonder, in terms of the legitimacy and the wisdom of becoming a vegetarian. But that's something that, we'll touch upon later on in the show and in other shows to follow. And I'd like to touch upon the fact that, indeed, as you mentioned, the symptoms that you had when you first discovered that you had diabetes, and one of them comes to mind with me is mood swings, irritability, and I think you mentioned headaches and eyesight and so forth, but mood swings and irritability, it strikes me as something that can be very interesting, especially with those who are not diagnosed and do not realize that they have diabetes. And I think of, indeed, I'm 66 years of age, and I know that since the advent of the fast food market and, you know, fast food restaurants, which I think goes back maybe about, 20 years, 25 or 30 years, with McDonald's and Burger Kings and so forth, we have a generation, especially our of children, whose diet is mainly from the fast food chains. And could that be one of the reasons why we have in our community people who are irritable and have mood swings and if indeed are violent towards one another and have low self-esteem? Do you think there's this connection with that?
Well, I see a – hello, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay. I see a direct correlation between what we put into our bodies and our personalities, the ability to concentrate or not concentrate, the ability to just be on point at work or – in the case of the young people at school, it's been a known fact from years ago. People used to make jokes about it, and, you know, for the most part they still do, but people used to make jokes about, oh, don't give your child sugar because the child would be bouncing off the walls. And when I was teaching, I remember some of my colleagues when I taught in the public school system. I remember some of my colleagues saying about some of their students, "Oh, their mom must have fed them a lot of sugar this morning. They came into my classroom, and before we even started the lesson, they were bouncing off the wall." And you know, a lot of people used to say that in passing as a joke, but it's true.
Uh-huh.
The white sugar. White sugar, white flour, products that turn, convert into sugar very quickly in your bloodstream, these are products that are called high glycemic as opposed to low glycemic index foods. They definitely affect how you feel. I remember years ago I used to hear the term, "I'm having a sugar rush," and I didn't really know what that meant. I never knew what that meant. I know what it means now. I didn't know what it meant then. I remember hearing, and it still happens nowadays, if someone is working and they need a boost of energy, they'll go buy a candy bar. It mm-hmm. gives them a boost of energy. But after an hour or so, you feel worse than you did before you had that candy bar.
Right.
So there is a correlation between how you feel, how you think, your ability to focus, and over a period of time, if you continue to put into your body foods which are not healthy foods, mm-hmm. then some it happens earlier in life, some. But it looks like the cutoff point is somewhere between maybe 40, 45 years old, you start noticing things are starting to break down, and it's because of poor eating habits over a long period of time.
Great. Yeah, that's something that we can talk about on every show that we have. There's no limit in terms of how much we can share amongst each other the importance of having a healthy diet. And I just noticed that we have another caller on the air, and I'd like to just acknowledge them and greet and bring them on board. Would you hold on for a sec? Hello, 516, you're on the air. Hello? 516, you're
hello.
On the air. Hello, how are you? Hello,
Wesley?
Can you hear me? Yes.
Hi, Wesley.
Yes. Hello, who is?
This is Lloyd Campbell.
Yes.
How are you?
Great. Is this Lloyd?
Yes. Hi.
Hi. Good morning. How are you? Welcome.
Good morning.
Welcome to Grassroots Holistic Talk Show.
Thank you very much. It's very good so far. It's very insightful information, and indeed, having a healthy diet is paramount.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, I'm so encouraged that you decided to call in and share your thoughts, because we just met, as a matter of fact, what was it, last night, right? And
yes, indeed.
We almost spoke for about an hour, I think.
Yes, it was quite enriching. So thank you for the call, actually.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Would you like to share to the listeners how we happen to have met one another, and how does this tie into you listening this morning to our show, which is focusing on diabetes? And indeed, I'd like to introduce you also to my wife, Spirit Change. Hun, I'd like you to meet Lloyd.
Hello.
Hello, Lloyd. How are you?
Fine, thank you. Blessings to you and your family.
Oh, thank you so much, and likewise.
Thank you. Yeah, it's quite interesting, Wesley, that you kind of called me out of the blue last night. I have been a distributor of Fruta Vida for many, many years, and a user as well.
Yes.
Fruta Vida, you know, has had tremendous impact on my life, not only from a financial standpoint, but from a nutritional standpoint, because it helped me to lose some weight and to have my skin tone looking much better, my face. Mm-hmm. It helps in elimination, so, you know, also, which encourages weight loss. And it's interesting because I hadn't been taking it for a little while, and I just started, you know, buying it again, becoming, you know, authorship to get my four-pack and start taking it. And, you know, it increased, you know, increased my, according to my wife, increased my variety, virility, and not that it needed to be increased more, but she certainly said she noticed a difference. But it's Fruta Vida on a whole has been, you know, very, very helpful to my entire family, my wife and my kids, you know, when they want to study and they need to stay up and hit the books, because I have two kids. One just graduated from college and she started her master's, and my other son is in his fifth year at architecture school. So, you know, they
oh.
take it, and they
oh,
yeah. So Fruta Vida has been good to us, and it's interesting that you called me and said that you're looking to take it to another level, so I'm very much interested in what you have to say.
Well, wonderful, Lloyd. I really appreciate it, and I say good morning to your wife and family as well. And, yes, I've been involved with network marketing and health additives and drinks and so forth for the last, I would say, some 25 years or so. And I was introduced to Fruta Vida about 6 years ago, and I've been taking it ever since. It has assisted me in my regimen of running, and for those of you who do not know, I'm training for my 14th New York City Marathon, which occurs next month, November the 7th. And at 66, I must say, without any exaggeration, I feel like I'm 20 years younger. You know, it's not just the Fruta Vida. I must add that I think I mentioned earlier that I'm a vegetarian as well as my wife. I've been a vegetarian for on and off for 26 years and consistently for 18 years. And Fruta Vida has been an addition to my diet that has helped me in so many ways. I must add, too, because I see that we've been on the air for about 33 minutes, and I'd like to squeeze in as much as I possibly can, and, of course, whatever is not squeezed in can be continued next week and weeks to follow. But last week, I don't know how many of you found out or heard on the news that former President Bill Clinton has now assumed a raw food diet. And I said, oh, wow, that is something else. I mean, as you know, President Clinton has suffered from a massive heart attack. More than once, I believe. and he's had a quadruple bypass heart surgery, and has more than twice, at least once, been on the brink of going into transition from his heart disease. So he has taken upon himself to really be proactive in terms of his health. And he mentioned in the newscast, which, by the way, is accessible on YouTube. I think if you log in, President Clinton, raw food diet probably will come up. But he mentioned to the interviewer that with his daughter just getting married, his daughter Chelsea just getting married a week or so ago, that he wanted to be around for his grandchildren. And he knew that he had to become proactive. And he had been doing some research and study about diet and found out that people who had heart disease similar to his were able to reverse their disease, to get to the point that all the plaque and whatever clogs up your heart, the platelets and so forth, were eliminated by virtue of embracing a raw food diet. So he said that made sense to him, and he began the regimen of raw food, which is a step higher than being a vegetarian, because as a vegetarian, you do eat food that's cooked, as it were. But with the raw food diet, you're eating fruits and veggies that are not processed, not cooked, and for the most part, organic. So I had an aha moment. I says, you know, I remember years ago when I was in my 20s, when President Kennedy, well, before my 20s, well, Kennedy was inaugurated, President John F. Kennedy. He walked down Pennsylvania Avenue, hatless. I think he had a top hat on when he took the oath, but when he walked down Pennsylvania Avenue to the White House, he didn't wear a hat. And his wife, Jackie Kennedy, wore a so-called pillbox hat. And there was an observation made a week later that the men's haberdashery business suffered. Men stopped wearing hats. Back then, it was very fashionable to wear hats. And women's haberdashery, that industry, the sales increased. So needless to say, we live in a society that's influenced, if you were, by the leaders of our country, and indeed the President and the First Lady of the United States. So I wondered, I says, wow, you have here now Bill Clinton, who's now become a vegan, you know, a raw vegetable vegetarian, and what would happen if his wife Hillary and his daughter Chelsea and her husband embraced the same diet? Indeed, what would happen if our current president, Barack Obama, became a vegetarian and embraced the raw diet? As you know, he's a hamburger lover, just like Bill Clinton was. And I pray that he's able to have a aha moment and recognize that indeed he has to be proactive as much as possible in his health. And we all know, most of us know, that he smokes. He has an addiction towards smoking. He needs to eliminate that from his particular lifestyle. I know that indeed his wife, Michelle, the first month that she was in the White House, she created a organic vegetable garden, and that gave a lot. That had a lot of coverage. So I'm just really in prayer and in anticipation that Bill Clinton's move is going to have a positive effect with those who are in the leadership position in terms of understanding that it behooves them to be proactive as much as possible about their health practices and habits. And hopefully this will be the beginning of our country, if not indeed the world, taking note that we have to reevaluate what we've been conditioned to be a healthy diet. Anyway, I just wanted to share that. Do you have anything to share in terms of those thoughts, Sahan, or Lloyd?
Well, I tell you, you know, eating over the years, I have certainly modified my diet, you know, and I have seen the benefits of that. I think that I'm currently 46,
mm-hmm.
and you know, quite healthy by most standards. And you know, I will certainly, I intend to eat healthier, you know, as things as I get older, because that's the key to longevity.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's a saying in the running community, which I learned some 30 years ago, that the body keeps score. You know, what you put into the body and the amount of exercise that you do has a residual return, you know, exponentially, if I may add. So it's never too late to start embracing a healthy habit. And eating is one of the aspects, eating good food, healthy food, and then, of course, exercise. And that's something that I'm
going
to touch on.
I would like to, my wife said she would like to make a comment, so I'd like to introduce her to my wife. Her name is Gail.
Oh, hi, Gail.
Hello. Hi, my
Hello,
name is
Gail.
Gail. I'm my wife. It's really been a pleasure listening to, you know, this, what would you call this? I have no idea. My husband came up with a phone. It's a little blog. Okay. And I really just wanted to comment because my husband has been using it when he was really involved in selling it. And, I mean, I myself, I was never really one into using these products, but I really have noticed a difference with my husband in his skin. And as a matter of fact, he had stopped buying it for a while and just started doing so about 2 or 3 months ago. And when I noticed, I mean, I still have not been taking it as consistently, but just listening to you guys this morning and knowing what I know and knowing what I have seen with my husband in terms of his energy, his skin, as you mentioned, his sexuality, I mean, just over the summer we had a great summer. I'm not going to lie to you. And there's definitely something in that product, and I myself intend to use it on a more, you know, pretty much on a daily basis. And I have started, and I have seen a difference already in my energy level. I mean, I'm already an energetic person. And I'm definitely going to give it a try because most of the times I'm really not consistent with using products, but this one I really want to, only because as myself, I'm getting older, I'm getting more into health. Related mind frame, and adding things that, you know, would benefit you and really looking for results, you know, is really going to add life to my years. So
absolutely.
I'm really looking forward to getting on it on a more continuous basis and just, you know, just looking for changes. Because sometimes we do things, but we don't look for changes, and we're not aware. That's the thing about us as humans. We're not aware of ourselves. But as we get older and we begin to get more in tune with ourselves, we begin to become, hopefully, we begin to become more aware for ourselves and we begin to see those changes. And when we see those changes, we really should just encourage others around us to do those things.
Yes, indeed. Well, Claire, I really appreciate you touching on that because, you know, the peer pressure is something that comes to mind. You know, we have to incorporate in our community, in our circle, positive peer pressure. And
right.
You know, we have enough peer pressure, but I want to turn that around to, like, let's have positive peer pressure. You know,
mm-hmm.
When we are at church or whatever our place of worship is, in the barbershop, the beauty salon, and so forth, we have to stop biting our tongues. You know, we have
sure.
to share in a loving manner the fact that, indeed, hey, you know, I'm concerned about the way you look, my friend, you know, and I want you to know that I might look similar to the way you do, but I'm doing certain things. Maybe you might want to, you know, listen to what I'm doing so that, indeed, we can have more of a healthier life and live longer. Because after
That's
you go
right.
to a certain age, I'm 66, and I average at least about 3 to 5 funerals per year. And,
wow.
Yeah, and most of the funerals are because of health issues, which, you know, could have been dealt with, if you will, in terms of those who, when in transition, being more proactive with their particular health. And, of course, if not them, their family and friends and, you know, the associates being more proactive in terms of being more concerned about their health. Well, we tend to not want to step on anyone's toes, you know, we want to dance around the issue, if you will. And then, of course, we have this collective health dysfunction amongst us. And it's always, you know, recycled, that particular ritual with the holidays. You know, we have now, we're just ending the summer, we're approaching various holidays. And these holidays incorporate health practices which, for the most part, are not healthy for a lot of us in our community.
Yeah,
so
that's right.
We need to not bite the bullet, but really come to terms with ourselves and get out of our comfort zone and recognize that we cannot continue to do the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. You know, that's, as we say, a sign of insanity. But getting back to Frida Vita, I just want to share with the listeners our website, and that's you can get a free bottle, by the way, of Frida Vita. It's a 30-ounce bottle, and you just have to pay for the shipping and handling. And if you go to the website, www.trifrutavita.com/45522. Again, that's TRY Fruta, FRUTA, Vita, VIDA, .com/45522. And I must share, though, that the ingredients of Fruta Vita, this is actually labeled as a fruit of life from the Brazilian rainforest. And the likes of Oprah Winfrey, she's had people on her show, and it's been claimed to be the number one superfood of the ages, and being labeled as nature's energy food. And actually reviews and studies have shown that this little berry is one of the most nutritious and powerful foods in the world. Now, one of the main things that Fruta Vita does, it has antioxidant properties. And, of course, you can get a bottle of Welch's grape juice, a bottle of red wine, and they all have antioxidant properties. But we're talking about when we consume medicinal entities, we also have to consider the percentage of and the amount of benefits that you get from these particular food items that you drink and eat. And Fruta Vita happens to be unique in that it has three different components. One is the berry, which is called acai. As I mentioned, it's classified as a superfood, you know, number one in the world. And it's a dark jungle berry, so-called jungle berry. I don't like to use the word jungle, but a dark indigenous berry, and it's been used for eons by the indigenous people of the Amazon. It has important omega-3 and omega-6 fatty acids, vitamin A, vitamin C, and special polyon nutrients. And then we have another ingredient, which is called capucho, and that's the size of a melon. And we'll talk about melons in some other shows because a lot of us, especially from the African community and the Caribbean American community and the Latino Hispanic community, eat melon of different sorts. But this ingredient called capucho, it looks like a coconut, and it also delivers antioxidants. As a matter of fact, 10 different antioxidants, and it's rich in its essential fatty acids. And it said that consuming capucho may help reduce your cholesterol, increase your energy, as well as boost your immune system. And then last but not least is an ingredient called yerba mate. And that comes from the caffeine family. However, it's not addictive. And it's a national drink in most South American countries. And yerba mate, it's body energizing in terms of its nutritional aspects. And it has a powerful green tea that has shown that helped boost brain activity, and it also increases your immune response and suppresses unhealthy cravings, and it also has a fast jump start for your fat burning, which assists you in losing weight. I see that we have another caller on. I'm going to welcome them on board. Hello, 347-415, you're on the air. Hello? 415, you're on the air. Can you hear me? Okay. Hi, are you there?
I'm still here.
Great. Thank you so much for staying on. I know that you have a busy day ahead of you. do you have anything else that you'd like to add in terms of your experience with to diabetes?
Oh, I have to add that Frutavita is instrumental in lowering blood glucose levels. I am a living testimony of that. I'm not sure of what the ingredient is. All I know is that, for me, because I would recommend to anyone to consult with your medical practitioner before using it, but for me, the Frutavita has assisted in lowering my blood sugar. Of course, it has increased my energy level. Everything that's being said is true. It also enables you to lose weight, and as far as getting into the scientific or technical aspects of the product, I don't know much about that at all, but I can say that from monitoring my glucose levels, after getting the okay from my naturopathic doctor, I started using Frutavita because my husband and I run, jog, walk 3.5 miles every Saturday. As a matter of fact, we're going to be doing that shortly after the show. Now, I'm going to mention that I'm doing mostly walking and jogging, but the Frutavita helps you have energy to endure that, but it also lowers your blood sugar. So if anyone is listening who might have been diagnosed with diabetes, I would recommend try the free bottle. Get the free bottle, take it to your doctor, and say, may I try this? And you'll see a difference. So I did want to mention that.
Well, thank you so much for mentioning that, hon. Yes, indeed. I must just add that I'm not a medical doctor, of course, and I'm not here to recommend any treatments or make any diagnosis. And what I'm here to do is to share information about the health practices which my family and I engage in and which work for us. And as my wife was saying, we do suggest that before you try any new product that, or food that we recommend and talk about on the air, that you first consult with a licensed medical practitioner. And, of course, with that being said, I use Frutavita every day, every morning upon my waking, and it has assisted me in maintaining a comfortable energy level all through the day. Would you like to share anything, any other thoughts with us, Gail or Lloyd? Hello?
No, we're good. I think we've said enough. I see that you have 7 minutes, you know, for your program, so we want to certainly give other people an opportunity. We appreciate the opportunity to have a voice. This is the first time listening to your show, and we plan on attending more regularly.
Well, thank you so much, Lloyd. I really appreciate that. And Gail, it was a pleasure meeting you, and thank you for sharing your thoughts with us as well.
Thank you.
I'm sorry?
I said, thank you very much. I'm definitely looking forward to trying this product more and more. And I really, like I told you, I've seen it. And one thing I actually did forget to mention is that last year, my husband and I, we were taking it consistently. And I remember going to do my checkup, and my blood levels were so great after 2 months of taking it that I remember my doctor calling me and asking me, Gail, what have you been doing? And I said, you know, doctor, the only thing that I've been doing differently is that I have added this product called Frutavita. And she really did ask me about it. And, of course, you know, with life and the stress, you know, we go in and out of doing things. But getting back to becoming more aware than what I was talking about previously is that I have recognized the benefits of it, and I'm definitely going to continue using it.
Well, great. Thank you so much. And I look forward to you joining us in future shows. And good luck with your new diet.
Thank you.
Okay. Yes, at this point, we have about 6 minutes remaining, And I just wanted to mention that we will talk about on our next show the fact that my wife and I use certain products such as black seed oil, and which helped her with her recovering from diabetes. It's a natural oil which has numerous curative properties. For instance, we're talking about glucose levels, arthritis, rheumatism. There's a plethora of different ailments that are cured by the usage of black seed oil. And I will also share with you on the next show my experience as a young man, being of the world and not always being health-oriented as I am today. We will share with you also the benefits of using green tea and its known antioxidant benefits, and the fact that all of these things can be purchased at any local neighborhood health food store. I want to mention the fact that my wife was, well, perhaps you can do this, honey, and I'll give the information about Dr. Chris Saltpaul, the fact that he assisted you as a naturopathic doctor in assisting you in being cured.
I don't have Dr. Saltpaul's phone number accessible. I'll have it ready for another show, unless you happen to have it, honey. But I would like to mention to listeners that if you are seeking a naturopathic doctor and you're in the New York City or even the tri-state area, because he's certainly worth traveling to, that I would suggest having a visit with him. Even if you don't have a specific health concern, he has a wealth of information which can assist you in achieving total wellness. Those of you who know me know my philosophy of total wellness is body, mind, and spirit. So in dealing with your body, I would recommend Dr. Christopher Saltpaul.
Oh, great. I think I do have his number handy. And can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, great. Yes, Dr. Saltpaul's number is 917-837-6722. Again, that's 917-837-6722. Hun, would you like to share with the listeners your information about your show that you have on Blog Talk?
Oh, certainly. My show is called New Spirit Talk Radio. I'm on the air each Sunday morning, 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern Time. So if you have time tomorrow, I'd love if you would join us for the show. If not, you can always listen through the archives. And again, it's New Spirit Talk Radio, and it's spelled N-U, capital S-P-I-R-I-T, Talk Radio.
Great. And thank you for sharing that. We have about a couple of minutes left, and I just wanted to share with you that I appreciate all of you who took the time out this Saturday morning to listen in on our show, and look forward to having you on board with us again next week. And as a matter of fact, I will be doing more than one show a week as we go on with our programming. So again, I would like to thank you, and I look forward to you coming on board with us again. And I would like to end this show as I begun, giving thanks and praise to the One Most High, and look forward to returning next Saturday to Sick Health Talk Radio. My name is Wesley Gray, and I'm your host. Have a beautiful day and a blessed week. Alafia. Assalamu alaikum. Hetepu. Namaste. Shalom. Peace and blessings.
enjoy this. The only thing I don't like about it is I thought you were going to use my script as a guideline. I didn't think you were going to say exactly what I say. That I don't like.